Jesus is God, and as God, he is worthy of the adulation and praise and worship of the people. But instead, he lowered himself to the position of a servant. He humbled himself.
This is season 11 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brent Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an Orthodox Wesleyan point of view. God's holy word is essential to our teaching, so let's get into God's word right now.
And I would invite you to keep your Bibles out and turn to the book of John, chapter 13. That's where our lesson is going to be today. If you're following in the Pew Bible, it's found on page 111 of the New Testament. We're continuing in our series called Five Things, in which we've been looking at how we, the members of the local church, participate in the ministries of the local church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. This week we are looking at what it means to serve the church through the example of Christ. Therefore, let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. John chapter 13, beginning of verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have taught us by the actions and teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ. Instruct us now by your Holy Spirit that we may be truly wise and walk in your ways all the days of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Since being part of the church, not just this church as your pastor, but also as a member of the Pittman Church, I've seen over the years a great deal of humble service that has been given to the church by the people. It's interesting to me that throughout the years, anytime anything needs to be done, it gets done. People of the church rise up and take care of the things that need to be done. That is how we serve the church. And so I think about even things that we've seen in this church. Recently, we have asked for volunteers to come and clean the church. And there has never been a week that there hasn't been someone signed up to clean the church. People just quietly put their name down. They come in. They do the cleaning of the church. And then we have a clean place to come and worship. And we are representing God in that way. We set up for special services. I think about how beautiful this sanctuary is during the month, the season of Advent, and for the Christmas season when we have candles and wreaths and a Christmas tree that the children decorate. I think about when we set up for special dinners in Fellowship Hall, and people come together and they set up the tables and they set up the chairs and they put out tablecloths and they set up all the food and prepare coffee even and hot water and all sorts of things. Who does those things? If you do them, you know who does them. But I look around and I just see the things that are just done. I think about the people who print the bulletins. I think about the people who set up the flowers. I think about the flowers that are set up during the season of Lent, how gorgeous they are and how they fill this sanctuary with fragrance. I think about the people who sat with me at the table for our church on Pedertown Day. Several people signed up to sit and to represent our church to the community and to answer questions and to talk about the church that they love. All of these acts of service were done anonymously, not because the people doing them wanted to be seen, but because they needed to be done, and out of love and in response to the grace that we have been given by God in Jesus Christ. And this is truly what it means to participate in the ministries of the local church by our service. This reading that we have today from the book of John, chapter 13, it occurs at the beginning of what's called the farewell discourse. The farewell discourse we find in John's gospel from chapter 13 to chapter 17. And this is some of the densest of the teaching of Christ, and it's directed at his disciples. And he's giving his disciples final marching orders before he knows that within 24 hours, he's going to be betrayed and beaten and crucified and put into a tomb. He knows that all this is going to happen. In fact, we read in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He knows all these things. He knows all these things because he is the Son of God, because he is fully man and fully God. Make no mistake, the disciples knew who Jesus was. He was, to them, he was the personification of God, the Word made flesh and dwelling among them. Jesus knows all things, and he understands the timing of all things ordained by God the Father. And this saying that he knows the Father had given all things into his hands indicates and establishes his position of superiority among not just the disciples, but all of mankind, which makes his next actions that much more unexpected. He knows all things. He knows these things. In John chapter 3 and verse 35, Jesus says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Right? The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So everything that God has been given to Jesus because he loves him. He is the Son. He is God the Son. John chapter 5 and verses 26 through 27. Again, Jesus speaking, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment because he is Not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. That's important. He is the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. He is fully God and fully man, and as such, he is uniquely positioned to be our intercessor and to speak to us on behalf of God the Father. He is the ultimate prophet, okay, and priest, okay, because a prophet speaks to the people on behalf of God, and a priest intercedes for the people on behalf of intercedes to God on behalf of the people. Jesus is uniquely positioned in that he is God and he is man. And because of that, he speaks to us on behalf of God and he intercedes for us to God. Because he is the Son of Man. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus reveals the Father to us. And we know the Father through the Son. So now, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This is an action of a servant. What Jesus is doing is he is modeling behavior for his disciples. He takes the position of a servant. Understand that washing people's feet, it's very important in the time of Jesus because people wore sandals. The roads were very dirty, dusty. And when somebody came into your house, as an act of hospitality, you offered to wash their feet for them. Now, this is something that was done either by the lowest member of the household, or if you were able to afford servants, it was the lowest of the servants. So that's what Jesus is doing. He's lowering himself to the position of the lowest of the servants. Jesus, in Luke chapter 22, he says to his disciples, "For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." Jesus is God, and as God, he is worthy of the adulation and praise and worship of the people. But instead, he lowered himself to the position of a servant. He humbled himself. And why? Because he was showing us how he expects us to act. We've talked about this before. There's a difference between a shepherd and a cowboy, right? We've talked about this before. The cowboy drives the herd from the rear. He's behind the herd and he pushes them forward. And he's got dogs that bark at the edges of the herd and keep everybody in line. You know, and pushing them forward. And they go forward in front of the cowboy. The shepherd, on the other hand, leads the flock from the front. He goes before the flock, and the flock follows because they know two things. Number one, he's going in front of them, and so he's going to encounter any dangers before they do. And number two, they know that the shepherd is taking care of them, and so they follow him willingly because they know that it is good to follow the shepherd. He goes forward. He goes before them. A shepherd leads by example. He doesn't ask, he doesn't command, he doesn't tell his people what to do. He does it first, and then he says, go and do likewise. And that's exactly how Jesus was a shepherd. He called himself the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. All throughout the Old Testament, God describes shepherds as the leader or leaders of the people as shepherds. Okay? In fact, David, who was an excellent shepherd, we learn, if the bear or a lion came out of the woods and took one of his sheep, he went and he killed the bear and the lion to get the sheep back. He was a good shepherd. And he was arguably the best king of Israel. Saul, who was the king before David, was not a good king. He was also not a very good shepherd. He lost his father's donkeys. You know, he couldn't even maintain his own flock. But David watched the flock of the people. God said through the prophets, I myself will shepherd my people. He said, you are bad shepherds to the leaders of the people. You are bad shepherds because you take for yourself instead of providing for the sheep. And so Jesus here is taking on the role of a shepherd by showing us, by example, what he wants us to do. He came to Simon Peter, verse 6, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He says, you don't understand what I'm doing, Peter. Just go along with it. You know? It'll all be very apparent soon. And then Peter says, thou shalt never wash my feet. Now, what he's saying there, he's trying very hard to be humble. No, this is below you, Lord. You can't wash my feet. You should never wash my feet. I am not worthy to have your hands cleaning the dirt off of my feet. But Jesus said unto him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now Peter changes his tune. You'll never wash my feet. And then all of a sudden he says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash all of me. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet. Why? Because when the people would walk in this dusty land, their feet would get dirty. Our feet are where our bodies meet the ground, right? And so we can be clean, but our feet get dirty when we go out into the world. Our feet are where our body meets the world. And in this saying, he that is washed, he's speaking metaphorically of the washing of the Spirit. And how do I know this? Because he speaks of it elsewhere in John chapter 3, verse 5. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, unless one is washed by the Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, God, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Right there, Paul is speaking of the concert of work by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He, God the Father, saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, not because of us, but because, according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So now, it says, ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Again, John takes great pains to point out that Jesus knows all things and certainly knows who will betray him. And if you read in verses 21 through 27, you see that Jesus knows who is going. He says, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. One of you. And they all started saying, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? They didn't even know. Now, Judas knew. Judas knew because he had already begun his betrayal. John, the author of this gospel, and also the beloved disciple, he was reclining against Jesus. He asked him, who is it? And Jesus said, it is the one to whom I give this bread. And he gives the bread to Judas. And then it says that Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly. He knew. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to be crucified. None of this stuff was a mystery to him. He knew it was going to happen, and he willingly went and laid down his life for us. Now, verse 12. After he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again. Now, in other words, before Jesus, the master, had lowered himself to the position of a servant, now he resumes his position as master. The first became the last, and the last became the first. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Jesus establishes his position as master and Lord. Now, the word there for master is a word which is akin to, like, we would refer to someone as a doctor. If someone has a PhD, they have a great deal of learning and knowledge in one particular area, and we would refer to them out of honor in deference to their education. We would call them doctor. That's what this word master is. It's the Greek word didaskalos. He says, I am your master and Lord. Didaskalos kai kyrios. Kyrios meaning Lord, but it's also the word that the Greeks used for God. I am your master and your Lord. And ye say, well, for so I am. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus reminds his disciples, you are not to be called rabbi. That's that word again. Rabbi meaning a teacher, an honored, respected teacher of the Jewish people. You are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Now, he's not saying don't call your earthly father, father, or dad, or Abba. But what he's saying is you will not call someone else father, as in, you know, like a Lord position. You call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So here he says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to, what, wash my feet? No. Wash one another's feet. See, he set the example. He said, I lowered myself, I washed your feet. Now go and do likewise for each other. Wash one another's feet. He doesn't tell his disciples to do as he says. He says to do as he does, or as he has already done. He models the behavior for us first, and then he tells us, go and do likewise. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Again, Jesus is the good shepherd. He doesn't drive the herd from behind, ahead of them. He leads the flock from the front. Matthew chapter 20, it says, Jesus said, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul writes, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And Paul says, that's what he did for us because he was showing us how we are to be. He was obedient. We should be obedient. He was a servant. We should be servants. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Peter, who was sitting here, Peter, who just argued with Jesus, Lord, you'll never wash my feet, in his first epistle says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. The word that Jesus uses for servant is the Greek word doulos, which can very well be translated as slave, because it's a bond servant. It's someone who is in debt to his master, and we are in debt to Jesus because he gave his life for us to ransom us from sin and death. Verse 17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What we know and what we believe is demonstrated by what we do. It's how we live our lives. If Christ is truly our master, then we are to follow his example. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, James writes, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. Show me what you believe apart from your works. I will show you my faith by my works. And so don't misconstrue this to say that we are saved by our works. We're not. We are justified by faith alone. We are saved by grace alone. But our faith is demonstrated by our actions. What we believe is what we do. And so when we have that faith, it is demonstrated in the things that we do. Jesus, our master and Lord, demonstrated for us, his disciples, what true servanthood looks like. If he was willing to lower himself to the position of a servant for our sakes, then we ought to also take the position of a servant for each other. We have been bought with a price, and our lives are no longer ours, but we belong to Christ. And he, being the good shepherd, demonstrated for us what a servant is and does. And then he tells us, go and do likewise, to fully participate in the ministries of the local church by our service is to do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and do it to the full. It is answering the call for work when work is needed. In the church, servanthood is a leadership position. And leadership is the position of a servant. We serve Christ by our service to the church, the body of Christ. Now, I thank God daily that this church has so many willing participants to do the work of the kingdom, to faithfully participate in the ministries of the local church by our service. Let us pray. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, showed us what it means to be servants and gave us a commission to do likewise as he has done for us. He willingly laid down his life for us, and so we, who are called by the name of Christian, willingly lay down our lives in service to the church, the body of Christ here on earth. Use us, Lord, that we may continue to grow your kingdom here on earth by our service, and may the works we accomplish here on earth bring glory to you in heaven. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope that this teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey: Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings for Bible-based and God-honoring worship. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Sunday school available and Bible study during the week. Now, this podcast is self-funded and we never ask for donations. It reaches people all around the world, but it could reach more people if you do a couple of things, and it won't cost you a penny. First, subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel. Leave a comment and also like the podcast. That puts the podcast in front of more people so that the gospel may reach them as well. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will listen to Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.